Well, we are going to start a new series of messages today. And the focus of these things is going to be on biblical doctrine. Doesn't that sound exciting? We're going to talk about biblical doctrine. And I really hope through this that you see how valuable it is for us to ground our lives in solid biblical doctrine. But first, I'd love to get an idea of where we are as a church on this idea. When I talk about doctrines, what thoughts and feelings come to your mind? What do you think of when we talk about doctrine? Rules and regulations. I heard that loud and clear. Okay, yes, that's often what we think about. So aren't you excited? I'm going to come and tell you about all the rules and regulations of being part of True North Church. What'd you say? Well, depends on which teachings you're talking about. Some, I would say, some you'll find are like, yeah, it's a guideline. But some are like, nope, we're going to stand on this. We're going to hold firm to this. And if you're going to be part of us, you're going to have to believe this too. So yes and no. Right, doesn't it? I hope you'll understand as we go through this how important and valuable and healthy it is for us to have these a good understanding of biblical doctrines. So let's talk about what doctrine is, first of all. Let's take a look at the book of Titus, where the Apostle Paul gives some instructions to the church where Titus is serving. So you're going to find Titus near the end, right after the books of Timothy. Timothy, Titus. It's a really short one, so it might be stuck in between Timothy and Hebrews. But in the first part of this book, in this part of this letter, Paul is giving some instructions on the qualifications for overseers of a church. We're going to read Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And Paul says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So this is a command that Jesus is saying, that if you're going to be a leader in a church, an overseer of a church, you need to be able to encourage others with sound doctrine and to defend the church with sound doctrine. This is an important part of the life of a church. And what he's referring to when he talks about sound doctrine is that we have a healthy understanding of the trustworthy word that has been taught to us, or the body of teachings about the church. And we need to be able to hold one another accountable to those things. The purpose of good biblical doctrine is to ensure that we have a healthy church. The word doctrine itself is defined as essential teaching that informs a believer's faith, lifestyle, and character. Essential teachings that inform who we are as Christians. When I think about it, I think about it as our response to God's word. God has given us his written word, which is a collection of different writings, different types of literature that tell us about the whole history of God's interactions with mankind. It gives us perspectives on who God is, how he's been working in the world, what his future plans are, what he wants from us. And we want to honor God, so we take all of that body of literature, we see what he offers, and we say we want to obey him and participate in his work. So we develop teachings that explain the whole body of the Bible. We try to tie it all together and explain, this is how we practically live it out. That's basically what doctrine is. It's our response to God. It's how we express our love for him well. Another way to think about this is think about the name of our church, True North. That name refers to the idea that God himself is the true compass heading we want to aim our lives at. He is our true north. Consider the Bible to be the landscape we travel as we pursue him. Our hearts are so easily tempted and drawn away from that compass heading. There's so many things that pull us in different directions. We need something like a GPS that can help us navigate the word and stay on track. That's what doctrine does for us. Doctrine keeps us on the right track. It brings us back when we wandered off. At its core, doctrine is not about having a set of rules to follow or points to argue with people about. Sound biblical doctrine is an expression of our love for God. When you love someone, you want to know how to best interact with them in ways that respects them, that shows them that you care about them, understands who they are as a person, that we want to do the same for God. We want to love him well, so we develop beliefs and practices that help us navigate what the Bible tells us in order to love God well. That's what doctrine is for. Having good, sound doctrine serves as an anchor that keeps us from being tossed around by all kinds of ideas that we're exposed to in the world. And we see this expressed in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. There's another passage I want to read today. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Boy, if I can find it. There we go. I'm going to start in verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And in this chapter, Paul is speaking about the unity of the body of Christ. And in verse 11, he says, "It was he," referring to Jesus, "it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There's a whole lot of good things that Paul says in here. And he's talking about the teachings of the church. The first of all, understand that good biblical doctrine is not just for pastors and teachers and missionaries. It is for everyone. The role that God gives those people is to equip everyone else with good doctrine, right? So that your life can be solid and steady in Christ. But it's up to all of us to embrace good, solid doctrine, biblical doctrine for our lives. It benefits both the church overall and it benefits each individually. If you think about doctrines as teachings that guide our life, you realize that there are all kinds of doctrines presented to us every single day. Everyone has some idea about how you should be living your life. Some of them are kind of biblical, some are not. Some are very biblical, some are loosely biblical, right? Some are very atheistic and rooted in all kinds of thinking. Some of them are cunning and crafty and deceitful. And we have to know what to hold on to. Every day you are exposed to the ideas that people want you to embrace. They want you to embrace their doctrine for life. So sound biblical doctrine is what prevents us from being tossed around by all those different ideas. Imagine your life as a boat on the sea just being thrown around by all these different things. You want to have a steady guide to hold on to keep you on the right path. And the third thing I want to bring up from this passage is that sound doctrine helps build up the whole church into the body of Christ that he desires us to be. It joins us together. It helps us function well in ways that honor God. When we are working well together and we're holding on to sound doctrinal foundation, our church is built strong in the love of Christ. This is something that we actually struggle with a lot in the American church today. We are a very individualistic culture. And that bleeds over into our teachings in the church a lot of time. We tend to emphasize an individualistic faith where we say that Christ died for you so that your sins may be forgiven and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can have eternal life. That message comes through loud and clear to so many people as the main message of Christianity. But the early church and other church cultures around the world are far less focused on those individual aspects of faith. And they emphasize, in addition, the role Jesus had in bringing us together, the way we function as a body. And they focus on how the early church cared for one another's needs. They depended completely on one another. And they reached out to the poor and the widowed. There is a part of faith in Christ that's about coming together, being rooted and bound to one another. And when we focus so much on individual faith, we lose connectivity that sound doctrine provides us. We end up as a people embracing all kinds of ideas that have not really had the advantage of a thorough examination of Scripture. If each of us just reads the Bible and figures out for ourselves what it means to me, have you ever heard that question? What does the Bible say to you today? Right? That leaves it open to individual interpretation. We end up with all kinds of ideas that haven't really been tested, and that leads to churches that are being built up around popular ideas in order to attract people to themselves, and then you have churches competing with one another over how many people we can grab for one another, and we lose our connectivity, not only within our churches, but among the body of Christ in the world. In our culture, we have, in a big ways, lost a sense of commitment to a church body. People want to be able to pick and choose among many different options, and if it doesn't feel good to me today, well, I can go down the street and pick another church because it's a church, and I like what they do there, and I like how they support these ideas, and people bounce around, and it hinders the church's ability to be strong. It hinders individuals' ability to work through difficult situations that come from bringing people together and really grow in our fellowship and our faith in Christ. And so sound doctrine does more than just help you as an individual be strong in your faith. It helps us as a church body be strong and connected with one another. Now, it's just as important to know that many biblical doctrines, I'll come back to this in a minute. There's something else I want to say. Many of the biblical doctrines we have today have actually been honed thoroughly and examined by Scripture and examined by church leaders coming together and sometimes fiercely debating them. So one famous example is the fight that a man named Athanasius of Alexandria fought against an idea called Arianism. And this happened around 300 AD. The debate centered on the nature of Jesus Christ. A man named Arius taught that Jesus was the first and greatest creation of God. God made Jesus in the beginning before he made anything else. But he was not God himself. That means that Jesus was different than God and less than God. And Athanasius said, no way, right? You probably didn't say it that way, but Athanasius stood against it. He says, no. If Jesus is not truly God, he cannot save humanity, and only God can save mankind. He saw that a sloppy understanding of doctrine had serious consequences for how we live out our faith. Now, for a time, though, Arianism was a popular idea. In fact, Athanasius was told, the world is against you. You know what Athanasius' response to that was? What's that? Right. When the rest of the church was standing in opposition to Athanasius, he said, Athanasius against the world. Athanasius against the world. So the world is against Athanasius. He said, Athanasius against the world. I will not bend on this. I will not change, no matter how many people tell me I'm wrong. And I can see by your responses, when I describe Arianism, how strongly you would agree with him today. Back in the 300 ADs, you might have been against him. So Athanasius fought for this doctrine because he was fighting for our salvation. for our understanding of what Jesus did for us and who he is. It was important for him to stand against everyone because biblical doctrine is important to how we live out our faith. Now, Athanasius was not the first or last church leader to take such a strong stand on a doctrinal issue. And the point I'm making here is that many of the church teachings we have today have come up against popular ideas like that. And it took somebody, some either individuals or small groups of people, many of whom were killed along the way for their beliefs, to hold true to doctrine, to say this matters, a proper understanding of God's word matters. And we have the benefit of inheriting the fights that they fought. And so these ideas that have come to us from centuries ago are very important for us to hold on to hold up to Scripture ourselves and decide, is this important or not? Does this hold true to Scripture? And if so, we're going to hold to it. Those debates that were had, it allows us to inherit a much more solid teaching that benefits the whole church. Now, as I was about to say before, as important as biblical doctrine is, we also have to acknowledge that it has been used in unhealthy ways. And based on your reactions when I first asked you about doctrine, I'm sure you've experienced this. Just because we have good doctrine doesn't mean that we apply it in good ways. Or we get a little bit, I don't know, the word that comes to mind is sloppy in our understanding of it, and we extend it to things that we ought not. Biblical doctrine has done great harm to people. And in fact, I think that's part of the swing toward individualism. The people have rejected the church's authority over their lives because of how biblical doctrine has been applied. I think we're all, as Protestant Christians, are inheritance of that. Because there was a pushback against the Catholic Church that dominated every lives centuries ago. And then we've ended up with all kinds of denominations, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for negative reasons. One of the bloodiest wars of the world, it's called the 30 Years' War, began over Christian religious debates because Christians were so opposed to one another over doctrine. People were killed, did you know, for their beliefs about baptism? People were killed over translating the Bible into different languages. How important are these doctrines? Are they worth killing other people for? Is that the way we should apply doctrine? Is that what Christ would have us do? We have to ask ourselves, are we using and applying the character of Christ in all that we hold to? Sometimes doctrinal beliefs are used like a hammer to control or beat people down or reject them rather than as a guide to lead them toward Jesus. And this is what comes back to what you said. It's about a guide. It's supposed to help us love Jesus more and help guide people toward him. Even today, you can hear countless testimonies of people who've been turned away by the church, rejected by the church because they didn't conform to what the church expected them to be. That's a misuse of doctrine, I think. Sometimes we use doctrine as a source of pride to say we're better than others because we have it right. And this one really hits home for me, honestly. I have learned over the years that there is a spiritual blindness that you can gain as you grow up in your faith. You're part of a good church family. You've had good, solid biblical training, but you might have just been taught one way of thinking about biblical doctrine. And you start to think, we've got it right. Our understanding of what the Bible says is the correct understanding, and anyone who disagrees with us, well, they're just heretics, and we're not going to associate with them. We're going to separate ourselves. But I've been guilty of that in certain ways. And I've learned, as I've studied church history and other traditions, as I've looked at other churches and listened to theologians who have different ways of thinking about the Bible than I do, that I need to be careful about how I view the people who don't think the way that I do. And this is where I was saying before, it depends on which doctrines you're talking about and whether we hold to them or we have to be more loose with them. The fact is that not every doctrine of Christian belief needs to be held with the same weight. there are essential beliefs and there are non-essential beliefs. And there are variations in interpretation that come from the fact that the Bible doesn't give us 100% clarity on every single thing that it speaks about. We need to be careful not to condemn others or divide from brothers and sisters in Christ over non-essential doctrines. Sound doctrine is not meant to divide people. It does define who we are in Christ. It helps us navigate differences, though. To navigate, how do we work together as brothers and sisters of Christ with diverse ideas and actually build one another up and learn and grow from one another and not let the devil tear us apart? Sound doctrine is supposed to help us be a diverse group of people and not just say, I'm right and you're wrong. But we got to understand those differences. There's different categories that we need to put our biblical doctrines in. And this is where I've had some helpful training recently from our elder board at the Fellowship of Evangelical Churches. They've defined four hills of doctrine, they call them. And in order to describe them to you, I'm going to actually use a visual image to display the different types of doctrines and the different hills we might stand on. So imagine that we are aiming an arrow at a target in our attempts to honor and love Jesus well. We want to hit the center with the things that we believe and hold on to. Our goal is to develop teachings that hit the dead center of that target. But not every idea that we develop or every teaching or tradition is going to hit the bullseye. Sometimes our ideas are going to fall short. I don't know if you can see the arrow. Can you see the arrow in this one? On the ground in front of the target? It missed. These are what our FEC elders call molehills. These are things we should not be arguing about at all. Consider things like the way you dress for church, whether we have wine or juice at communion, what type of music we play, right? You can probably think of all kinds of things. And unfortunately, many of these things have divided churches. These are not issues of church teaching. Some of them are not even really solidly biblical. C.S. Lewis spoke about this. Do you want to expand on that? Yes. Yes. And this is, in case you don't know, the premise of Screwtape Letters is these are letters between demons talking about how to pull people away from God, how to sabotage their faith. Yeah, if you can get Christians to go to church and just notice all the things they dislike about the others. Oh, I can't stand the way they're dressed. I can't stand the way they live their life. Look at the carpet in this place. Look how shabby this church looks, right? We ought not to be arguing about such things. And this brings back a memory to when we first bought this building. It was a tough time, actually. Within a week, I wish we hadn't. Because I had people coming to me almost every day with all the things that they were going to do to make this, to improve this building. And those ideas were conflicting with other ideas. And I had people wanting to rush in and do things. And I had to tell people, no, wait. And they were getting mad at me because why are you stopping me from doing this? And I felt like the whole thing was falling apart. And I'm like, God, why did we do this? It was so much easier when we were mobile. We did. We did. Yeah. 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 And everyone was motivated by a desire to honor God and love our church. And I've heard pastors, maybe you've heard pastors speak too, but oh, we had another meeting arguing about the color of paint. Who cares about the color of paint? What I realized, though, as I sat and prayed about this is what it looks like to be a fellowship. We can't avoid that kind of stuff. We can't avoid those differences. We can't just say everyone has to uniformly be the same on all these issues. No, this is what Jesus died for. Jesus died to bring all those diverse people together. And yeah, we're going to have debates sometimes. But let's not make mountains out of molehills. Let's remember their place, that these are not things that we ought to divide over. Sometimes we miss the mark in our beliefs, and we got to recognize which of those things we are. We're going to talk about that one next week a little bit more. Now, some arrows will get a little bit closer. They'll actually be on the target, but they'll be on the outer edge. And these are what we would call hills to dialogue on. These are beliefs and teachings that really don't impact a lot about the way we organize ourselves as a church family or the way we pursue the mission that Jesus has given us. They come from an honest attempt to understand God's word, but people have arrived at different understandings of what God's word has said. And this is over thousands of years, people have debated certain issues in the Bible and we have not come to a conclusion on it. Why do we think today that I've finally figured it out and I'm right? You know, people much smarter than me have debated these things for centuries and we still don't fully understand. It's okay that if many of us in this church have different beliefs about what it's going to look like when Jesus returns. We don't have to have it all figured out. Right? When I read the book of Revelation, there are pieces of them like, I don't know what this means. I have an idea and I think I have some understanding, but there are at least three, maybe four different interpretations of end times theology in existence, and it's okay. In fact, it's beneficial for us to actually, again, practice coming together and listening to how one another has arrived at those things and learn from another. It sharpens our biblical thinking to say, oh, this person has arrived at a different conclusion. They are just as devoted to God's word as I am. Maybe I could look at it in a different way. That doesn't mean you're going to change your belief. It just means that you're going to have a broader understanding of God's word. These are things that we can dialogue on, and we can exist together, even in the same church, having these different beliefs. And then we might get a little bit closer to the target, but not quite on center. And these are the things that we would say, these are the hills that we stand on. These are biblical doctrines we embrace at a church that give us identity, that they define how we organize ourselves, how we practice faith together, that might be different than another church. Think about things like the way we take communion, what we think about baptism, how we understand roles in the church. We stand on these things because we have made a careful examination of God's word against various biblical teachings, and we believe our understanding of this fits most faithfully with how we understand scripture. We're not apologetic about them. We're going to stand on them, but we're not going to condemn other Christians for having a different interpretation. We recognize that Christians embrace a different understanding. Some of the most violent disagreements among Christians have occurred in these areas. As I mentioned, people have been killed over baptism. Right? We have to have enough grace to say, I think I'm right, but not everyone thinks I'm right, so I'm not going to be prideful enough to say I'm the only one who knows how to understand these things. There are certain doctrines that we hold to here that we think, I've challenged myself. Does the Bible, I've listened to other teachings and I've said, do I believe them? No, I don't agree with the way that they've approached it, but they're still pursuing what God's word says, so okay. We just can't necessarily be in the same church because we function differently. We stand in those things. Finally, some arrows do hit the bullseye. These are essentials of the faith, the hills that we die on. These teachings are so central to faithful understanding of the Bible and of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we will insist that you need to hold these ideas yourself if you call yourself a Christian. Like Athanasius, we will stand on these things even if the world is against us. These are essential. And the message is so clear that we will hold to them. This is what defines us as Christians. And if we're going to fellowship with other groups as Christians, we all are going to agree on these things. There's actually a conversation going on right now among Cannon Falls pastors about what are the essentials that we agree on, that we can actually fellowship with one another on, because we want to work together and not be divided over everything. And I had an opportunity to present these hills to them just a couple days ago. This message today may feel a bit academic, but I think there's some important lessons in this for how we pursue a meaningful and faithful life in Christ, and for how we build up our church and interact with one another. My desire here is that we would be people who are deeply committed to the truth of who Jesus is and what he's called us to. And that is what a commitment to sound doctrine is all about. Aiming for the bullseye is not ensuring that we are right and that we can prove it to everyone else. But when we aim well, we want to make sure we are flexible about those things that are on the edge or that miss the target. And when we do that, we will be filled with more of both grace and truth. We become more like Jesus, and that is the ultimate goal. Let's get on target and build a strong and healthy church that is effective in sharing the love of Christ with our world. I'm going to want to spend a few weeks exploring these different types of doctrines in the weeks ahead, and I would actually love to hear from you as we continue on. As I said, I'm going to start with molehills. I'm going to get more into the essentials. And so I'd like to hear from you if you have doctrines that you'd like to understand more about. Yeah, Mariah? Yeah? It all comes back to that so often. I love that phrase. What would Jesus do? And how seriously do we take that message? What would Jesus do? But if you have doctrines that you'd like to understand more, then maybe that you've confused you, maybe you wonder, is this essential or not? Or if you've been hurt by some doctrinal belief of the church and you'd like to understand it better, let me know, and we'll see if we can work those in. This could be an opportunity for us to really focus on what affects us right here. What do we need to know better, and how can we grow stronger together? So think about that and let me know if there's anything you would like to explore a little bit more. Our goal, as Paul said in Ephesians, is to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together. That's in Ephesians 4. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word. We pray that you would help us to be good stewards of that word. We want to love you well. We want to embrace teachings that keep us focused on you, that guide us toward you, that build up the church. But help us to understand what we need to hold strongly to and what we need to have grace for. Let us be a people who love you well. In Jesus' name, amen.